This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Hey, this is Dan Savage of Savage Love and the Savage Lovecast, and you are listening to Joy 94.9, Australia's first and only LGBTQIA community radio station.
That's right, and you are on Hide and Seek on that station, your show for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice. Over the desk from me tonight is not Arvi, but it's Patrick.
I could try and be Arvi if you want.
Can you do a South African accent?
Oh, no, I can't.
What was that?
That was not South Afrikaans. That was not. Poor Arvi is probably just going, oh. I didn't once be able to do an Afrikaans accent.
Oh, well.
So I had a gym teacher, actually, who was from South Africa.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We might leave that for another night.
Well.
Now, here on Hide and Seek, every week we have a regular. We rotate through. We've got Dr. George, the healthy bear. We've got Chris Fox, our compassionate counsellor. Mm-hmm. And joining us for the first time ever, well, not first time ever, because we did speak to him a few weeks ago, but for the first time for his regular slot is Mr. Aussielicious himself, Brenton Parry. Good evening, Brenton.
Good evening. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Welcome to Hide and Seek. Thank you so much for helping us out.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Now, do you want to tell us a little bit again about what Aussielicious is, really?
Aussielicious is essentially just a blog about my daily ramblings about life as I see it and my experience with the world.
Well, that's what a blog is, isn't
succinct,
it?
Succinct, isn't it?
Well, it's easier than going on about the randomness that is my blog at times.
And as part of your personal life, I think you're very honest about your personal life, I think.
Yes, I'm an open book and I can't really do it any other way. It just happens.
So, in light of that, I was thinking, and given it is Valentine's Day tomorrow, we thought we'd have a bit of a chat around, how does one celebrate singledom, if that's what one wants to celebrate?
Well, I think some people celebrate it better than others. Being single can be a bit tough on Valentine's Day, but a friend of mine did have a game that he threatened to play on Valentine's Day, which was Happy Couple Slapping Day. I don't know that you get away with that.
I think we can condone that.
No, probably
unless if it's consensual.
Oh, well, yeah, that could be.
Way of celebrating Valentine's Day.
I think celebrating singledom's just going out and taking advantage of not being tied down to one person in whatever way that takes shape.
But you're right. I can remember Valentine's Day. I'm in a relationship now, but I can remember several years ago Valentine's Day being a bit of a downer, and I wasn't really expecting it because I thought I was quite happily single, and Valentine's Day somehow sort of stuffed that up.
Well, I think the marketing of the whole day and the rest of the world tells you you're supposed to be happily coupled up on that day, even though you are happily single and you go through every other day of the year quite fine. There's all the roses and balloons and happy couples being extra smoochy, and it just gets to you a little bit.
I think the other thing is... Sorry, you can finish off with your thing.
No, that's me.
Oh, well, the thing that I find really irksome about Valentine's Day, especially when you are a single person, which I'm celebrating my 22nd consecutive year. I'm only 22, let's just point out, but as a single person, is the fact that it really does just stress to you that it is very important to be in a relationship, or at least society tells us it is very important to be in a relationship. When the reality is a lot of people are probably in those relationships and going, oh, God, it's Valentine's Day. I have to get them something. What's Valentine's Day-y? And yet,
yes.
I'm sure that if it were, it's just every other day. Like, if they treated every day just like that day, that for me, I go, well, that's kind of sweet. It's crazy, but it's sweet and it's lovely and I won't vomit into a bucket. But But, you know, people get the chocolates. I mean, I work at a store that's selling stuff like that at the moment. And I got to say, tomorrow when I'm going into work, I'm going to be having to put on the best brave face in the world, the plastic face. But why are we so obsessed with being in couples, though? Why do we need a day to remind us about that?
I'd like to think that we don't need the day to remind us about that, and that people that are in relationships, and should I ever be in one, I'd like to think that there might be some romance and happiness on some other days as well, and it's not just one day of forced happiness.
Yeah, well, I'm the optimist. I'd hope that. I'd hope that as well. But when we are single, when we are single, which you shush, Andrew. You know, but we are sort of then thinking, well, what do we bring to Valentine's Day except, oh, it's the other lot that aren't in the restaurant, which I'm kind of tempted to see. There's that great thing on, I can't remember what show it was, where a guy buys all these, or like he sets up all these Valentine's Day reservations and then he gets all the last minute calls and like gets them to bid against each other for dinner reservations. I can't remember what that show that is. If you know, text in on 0427-JOY949.
So, Brenton, how do you think that in the gay community, I'll rephrase, in the gay community, the data shows that, you know, half of us are single. Why do you think it still impacts on the gay community, even though a lot of our peers are single?
Well, I don't even think that's limited to the gay world. A lot of my straight friends are single or haven't found the right person yet. I just think it's decades of social conditioning that we're supposed to be in a couple, because it's been the norm, well, actually centuries. You know, you reach adulthood, you meet someone, you settle down, you get married. But
whether there's any romance in that, though, I mean, if you're looking at it
from
centuries ago, marriage was a transaction.
Exactly. And personally, I'd rather be single than in a relationship that wasn't right. So I'm going to buck the system and I'm going to be single. It's a tradition for me as well, but I'm not going to conform to the pressures to be romantic tomorrow, because there's no one to be romantic with. And
well, with me, it's an ice cream container.
Well, mine might be a beer on the lounge. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But, I don't know why we're so driven to be in a couple, but I feel the pressure as well. It'd be nice to curl up with someone, but, you know, life's good the way it is.
Is the... And, Patrick, you may have some insights in this, because I've only been to Sydney every now and then, but usually for a Mardi Gras weekend, when I'm working, for Joy, but is the Sydney scene different in that... Patrick, you might be able to show the differences, but certainly, how do you perceive the gay Sydney scene? Is it so concentrated that everybody sort of knows each other, and therefore, and does that have an impact on being able to form relationships?
It is very concentrated, and everyone does know everyone and everyone's business. Every now and then, you worry about trying to find a boyfriend that half of your friends haven't slept with. But Sydney's a tough city at times. And from what I've seen online and just hearing from other people, it has a bit of a reputation for being a tough city to crack and to make friends and meet people and make genuine contacts. But then lately with other friends and international friends, you have conversations about what it's like in other cities, and I don't think it's any different anywhere else. The same problems about trying to meet someone occur everywhere.
I think specifically when we're talking about Sydney, when I was in Sydney, I completely agree with your thing. It's just trying to find the boyfriend that no one else has slept with. I kind of called it, it's a bit of a staggered orgy. That we all think you slept with each other. But that sounds jaded. Actually, it's quite beautiful, because then you can get insights to see what works and what doesn't. But, that's awful. But my problem that I certainly had with the concentration of Sydney, especially like if you're going completely by just an Oxford Street standard, is the fact that that is almost the way that you do find people, is through that avenue or through Grindr. But it's, you know, or both, you know, you're on that street, and that street is going to be where you will find that. And then the soul-crushing part when you don't or something doesn't happen. And you're going, well, then I'm not... Am I playing Sydney right? Or is this just completely a waste of time? I mean, what, do you go out to Oxford Street a lot? I'm not asking
no,
too much, but are
no,
you
I don't
one
generally.
Of those kind of people? Okay, all right.
And that every now and then I think, do I have to? Is that how I'm going to meet someone?
Exactly.
But given that I'm not into clubbing and going out and getting drunk every weekend, or just even just noisy bars don't do it for me, is there another way?
Mm.
And everyone says, do what you love and you'll meet someone. I do things that I love and I haven't met someone, but it's not saying it's never going to happen.
No.
They just haven't turned up yet.
No.
Prince Charming's riding a lame Shetland pony in my life, apparently. He's not here yet.
Well, Brendan, stay on the line with us. We're going to continue this chat after a quick break.
Sure.
You are with Andrew and Patrick on Joy 94.9. We're speaking with Mr. Aussie-licious, Brendan, and about Valentine's Day, about singledom.
Hide and seek.
Joy 94.9.
That's right. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. And also, Star Observer Digital up in Sydney, your sex, sexuality and gender-diverse digital radio station, which is, you know, hosting your program about sex, sexuality and self, which is us, Hide and Seek.
Serendipitous, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Andrew the Apprentice here. Patrick is joining me tonight.
Yes, I am indeed.
And on the line is Mr. Aussie-licious Brenton. We're chatting about Valentine's Day and I guess the impact it has on our society.
And certainly about singledom as well. I'm very curious to actually hear, Brendan, what do you do that you were talking about earlier, doing things that make you happy? What makes you happy? What's the stuff that you do in your singledom that makes you happy?
You just keep yourself busy with all your hobbies. I've been doing aerial circus classes for about 7 years.
So nice.
I go and do that. I go to the beach all the time and confirmed beach bum. Love being in the sun on the beach. And
we've seen the beach bum. It's on your blog.
Yes. My bum is all over my blog. All over it. And I just hang out with friends and do a lot of photography and just whatever you feel passionate about, I say, just do it and hopefully someone will come along that enjoys that.
Sounds very different to my idea of doing what makes me happy, which is making voodoo dolls of my exes. But
obviously, I don't have enough exes. I can't do that.
Oh, well, it's my title. But with regards to doing what makes you happy and certainly in your singledom, do you think that, I mean, you were talking about looking for Mr. Right as such, but
yeah,
that's more in the back on the back burner now, isn't it? It's more embracing yourself and loving yourself, I think, first, which often is what happens. People realize that they have to learn to love yourself and then someone else could love you. Or guess what? You're awesome enough for yourself and no one needs to be on that territory.
Exactly. I've gone on dates with people and they're in the mindset if they want to settle down. Like, I'm 40, so there's more pressure, I guess, as you get older and just, you're not going out clubbing and stuff. So there's, you know, that homey sort of vibe is a nice one. Mm. And you go on dates with people and they're sitting around waiting for someone to turn up in their life. But I went on a date with a guy and I asked him what he did for fun and he said, oh, not much, I'm pretty boring. And I thought, well, you've got to make yourself interesting. You've got to be interesting for someone to be interested.
Or more about the case, maybe not that you have to make yourself interesting, but find out what is interesting about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's not so much change yourself, it's just emphasise yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because if you're not true to yourself, then it's not going to work. So.
But I mean, we were talking about, you said being in your 40s and being single. I got to be honest, being on the receiving end of numerous flirtations of gentlemen over 40, which is, you know, sometimes a little bit nice. It's sometimes. But, I mean, there should, I think, if there's more pressure there, I almost see that there's almost a freedom, I suppose. You can kind of go, okay, I'm past that and now I can be whatever. But I don't know. Well, I'm a 20-year-old. I'm supposed to be dumb and blonde.
I'm dumb and blonde as well. It's just older. That's all, and less of it. I think honestly, there's a pressure in society for all of us to find someone. Like, it's just an ingrained thing that, as I said before, it's been around for centuries. So I think you're feeling pressure, and you imagine that I would have more freedom. I feel a bit of pressure as well. And we all have our own freedoms and our own pressures, I guess, and half of it's in our own head and not coming from anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at the other thing as well is that, you know, settle down and being with one partner. I mean, we look at the animal kingdom. Dear goodness, they don't do monogamy, which doesn't necessarily mean that we should be following the example of the animal kingdom. I've been watching a lot of green porno by Isabel Rossellini lately. That's probably why it's in my head. Think something such a thing called traumatic insemination. Look it up. But it's a bed bug. But we look at that, and I think I sometimes look at humanity and I go, why did we get to this point? We could be dolphins. We could just be doing anything. It's just anything goes with that. It's the, let's go and have sex with someone of the same sex or opposite sex, or let's have a blowhole. It just, you know, it all works out in that regard.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of the gay world subscribes to that philosophy. Monogamy isn't exactly a popular thing in the gay world. That's how it feels.
I think that's fairly true.
Yeah. A lot of my friends are in relationships of varying degrees of openness, whether it's the odd playmate or complete freedom. And it's just a matter of finding what works for that couple. But I don't think monogamy is a natural state for humans. It's what I aspire to, but I don't know if it's going to happen.
It's something that I find a little bit unusual in the gay scene, though. Although I agree completely that you see a lot more sort of openness, I suppose, with regards to monogamy and how people enjoy more fluidity, there is still a push that there's always going to be that one person as well. Does that make sense? It's not complete freedom, and I hate using the word freedom because it makes it sound like as if it's a chore. It's not a chore having someone that you love and want to be with for a long period of time. But
no.
But there seems to be that you still have to be with at least one person regularly.
Well, yeah, I think the overriding pressure is, yeah, have a husband or a boyfriend, but...
Or both.
Whether you... Yeah, or both, or come and play with other people on the side. But there's that expectation that you'll find someone to come home to, whether that is real or not. That seems to be how a lot of people do it.
Well, Brenton, thank you so much for joining us tonight. No matter, no matter what your relationship status is, don't take tomorrow too seriously.
Exactly. It's a commercial proposition.
Have some fun if you are with someone. Have some fun if you're not.
Exactly. Enjoy it.
Enjoy it. Be happy.
Yep.
Brenton, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for chatting to me.
Give us a plug for your blog.
It's aussielicious.com.au.
And we'll chat to you very soon. We'll probably be back in a month or so.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
4 weeks.
We'll catch you then. That is Brenton from Sydney, Mr. Aussielicious. Aussielicious.com.au is the URL.
It's such a delightful name. Although I will say, when someone said it to me originally, I thought it was a porn site. But
it's not.
But it is not. It is a beautiful blog with lots of bottom.
It is. It is. So check it out. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We'll be back with Chloe, our special guest, in the second hour. Right after this, you're with Patrick and Andrew on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9 and also Star Observer Digital.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.